And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Friday class. Hey, Scotty, how you doing today?
Hello. I'm doing awesome. Just got back from last night from a Pauly Shore little comedy club skit last night, which was amazing. So it was pretty cool to see Pauly Shore.
Wow, that's like a blast name from the past.
Isn't it, though? Yeah, I think he's like hanging on to the strings, man. He's like, you can tell that he's 44 years old. I don't know if anybody knew that, but... A little trivia there. Pauly Shore is now 44, going to be 45 real soon. So, kind of funny.
And yeah. How's the weather up there? I have to rub it in every chance I get.
You know what? It's going to be 60 here tomorrow, but I'm going to be with you down there, so I don't care what it is here.
Where it is sunny and 85, huh?
Nice. That's where I'm going to be.
Well, I know we've got a great subject that we're going to be covering today, and just so excited to bring to you one of our own MMA members. This is Sean Stevens, who's going to be helping us out today. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Doing well. How you guys doing? Pretty well, it sounds like.
Yes, nice. And Sean happens to be in my backyard, so he is enjoying the 85-degree weather as well.
Nice.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about USDA loans, and I believe that they're probably eligible in almost every single state. Is that not right, Sean?
Correct. Every state's got their own list of eligible areas.
Awesome. Well, I am going to go ahead and turn it over to you because I know you and Scotty have a lot in common because Scott does USDA as well, but no one does the volume that you do. So we're very excited to have you with us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us. We really appreciate it, and I will let you guys go ahead and take over.
Excellent, excellent. So, Sean, how long have you been doing – oh, you know what? I think the next slide helps us out a little bit as far as who you are, how long you've been in business, and what's going on, and then we'll kind of go from there. How's that sound?
That sounds great. So I originally started way back in 1998. Seems like much longer than that every day, more in this business. And then I started Metroplex Mortgage back in March of 2001. We are a mortgage lender and exit broker in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and Texas. Got Dallas and Tampa offices, as Tammy had mentioned. And I have a real passion for this profession. And I've been able to translate that into a business base of purchases of 80 to 20 over refinances.
I got to tell you, man, that you know, not to interrupt you there, but that number right there, like, really excites me. So, I'm going to take a lot of notes because 80-20, I think a lot of people, if I'm not mistaken, on the call, I think are probably reverse from that. They're probably 20-80. I think a lot of people have been riding the refi boom, so... It's going to be really exciting to see how you got to the 80-20 and how this is all set up. So I'm really looking forward to this.
No, that's a great point, Scotty, because I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were mentioning about the whole 20-80 being reversed that you just mentioned about the refinances, and I made a comment that's fool's gold, because as soon as rates go up an eighth or a quarter, that eliminates that portion of your business.
No question.
So, and obviously the whole way, and one thing I'm going to talk about today is not only the USDA program, which everybody's probably familiar with to some extent, but the networking involved, setting up your farm areas, and also taking some of these strategies, not only for USDA, maybe they have different niches, and trying to implement that to help get to that 80-20 purchase ratio.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that rural development or USDA is literally has been untouched as far as guidelines, overlays. I mean, there's not a whole lot that has changed for rural development. Am I correct?
You're correct. It's been a pretty, as far as stable with guidelines, requirements, there have been credit score increases. There have been the additions of the monthly, they have a USDA as an annual premium that gets factored monthly, which that's as each year's gone on to keep the program sustainable. But as far as for guidelines, you're correct.
It's about the same.
There are so many of them that, I mean, it gets pretty intense as it is right now.
Excellent, excellent. Cool, man. So how to build, I mean, so why don't you tell me this? How do you build a USDA niche? Or niche is the correct pronunciation, I think. Niche.
I would say this is not for a niche that is for, or niche, as you would say, for the faint of heart. You've got to be really to dig in, get to work, And really, as I mentioned in the previous slide, network and network, because it is a unique product. So the first thing you need to do is plan the area you're going to go work within and be part of that community, work with the agents, realtors there, as well as the home buyers. And everybody probably has the link. I just put it on there for ease. That's the USDA eligibility link, which shows what areas are eligible. And many of you may already be in a USDA area plentiful.
Excellent.
However, here in Tampa or with my office in Dallas, it's not in an immediate area, so I have to travel. So, and whether it is areas around your office or with other states you're licensed in, such as with Tennessee and Alabama, you need to, I mean, this is a farm product, so it's not a farm product overall, but as far as farming your area, you have to be careful of going after acreage-type properties. You need, when you get too much acreage, that's going to be a negative. And you're going to need to really understand the local communities where you'll be working in.
Okay.
So basically, you want to target the area you want to work with. Plan to drive and travel if you're going to be, let's say, in a metro area, Tampa, Dallas, wherever it is, where there's not an immediate access to those USDA eligible areas.
So get a bigger cup, is what you're saying.
You know what? I was talking to Carl when we were in Las Vegas, and in that whole cup theory where you draw the circle around the cup, you need
to
get about three or four cups.
Three or four cups, correct. Hey, you know, real quick, Sean, there's no way I could ever remember that link. So a long time ago, I actually bought isitrd.com, isitrd.com, and that takes you to that link. So for everybody on the call, just as a easy reminder for your agents, you can send them to isitrd.com, and it goes right to there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole target your area. I can't stress that much. You just don't want to be shooting out in the wind. You want to really have a good game plan. Get a map out. Go to Google, wherever you're going to go target, but have a game plan. You just don't want to, I mean, this is something where you got to be really specific about and put that game plan in place.
So Sean, backing up a little bit, when you say 80-20, and give us some realistic numbers of what somebody could do with this program. Like for example, how many loans do you have in processing right now? If you don't mind me
asking. Okay. The ratio between, on average, loans in process are between 60 and 75.
60 and 75.
The ratio of that is the 80-20.
Okay.
And I would say of that purchase business that we have, about 65% of that is USDA driven.
Okay. So
we have a really big. We really specialize in this program.
So that's
amazing. So you kind of know what you're talking about, huh?
When you say specialize. Correct. Right. That's what I was just gonna say. Yeah. So what are some cautions that we need to be aware of on this program?
I mean, as I mentioned before, this is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you really have to get in with both your communities, but also be a true expert on this program. And if you're working with third-party lenders or whatever, you got to have their overlay and their requirements. You've got to be able to know this really like the back of your hand. So when you're out there in the field, let's say you're an hour away from your office and you're asked a question, you're working in an agent's office, working with another buyer, another agent pops in and asks a question, you got to be prepared to have the correct answer.
Right.
And you've got to be prepared to have that drive time. I know, as we mentioned, that whole 80-20, where it's a 20% refi, it's a heck of a lot easier to sit behind a desk and try to quote a refi. But when you're really trying to build and establish that farm-specific area and access this program, you're going to need to have, I mean, for me, 1, 2, and 3 hour drives one way are not uncommon.
Okay.
So, I mean, you really got to, if you're going to go after this, this is going to be a longer term campaign. It's going to really help to balance out your business for the long term as well, too.
Okay. So how do you specifically, because you're very successful with this, how do you market this thing?
Okay, so, I mean, as I mentioned, you got to find your farm area. the whole location, 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 just as in real estate, it's going to translate to this as well, too. Once you get your farm area, you are going to really get on the ground. I call it boots on the ground campaign. I want to get out there. I want to meet with people, both the realtors, any referral partners they may be meeting with. And I do that through functions to the local real estate realtor association, the board of realtors, putting on presentations for both education and home buying seminars. Another great idea is become a member of the local chamber of commerce. You really got to be in touch with and understand how these local communities work. Since many of them may be rural areas, maybe find out, can you get down payment assistance programs? How does, is it going to take longer to get your appraisal done? You've got to really, all types of little things that could come up that could either slow a transaction down or help to save a transaction. Go ahead, Scotty.
So don't overpromise, underdeliver. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Give a little extra time, if anything. I know that I don't know about you, but right now, but RD was quite a ways behind when it came to submitting it to RD for the final approval. And they've really shortened that time frame. Are you seeing that as well? Not that it's a big deal, but I mean that's a huge.
I think you're 100% right. It's a huge deal. Because when you're structuring those contracts, if you tell someone 30-day close and it takes 30 days while at RD,
right?
I mean, you're asking for a 30-day extension. So I mean, in Florida right now, it is seriously backed up.
Okay.
We're looking at 30 days at RD. If it's going to take you 30 days to get the file to RD, maybe you have a manual underwrite you have to go through, or whatever the deal is. If it's going to take you 2 to 3 weeks to get the file to RD, and that's going to take you 30 days. I mean, you're looking 45 to 60 day closing.
Okay. Yeah, which is, as long as you put it out there and set the expectations, it's fine.
Exactly. You tell people up front, you put that on your pre-qualification letter, correct timing to what to expect, and you really outlay that from that initial pre-qualification. As soon as you send that letter over, everybody should be aware of that prior to. But I mean, having that on there, I think that's a good tip.
Hey, another question for you right here is where it says networking with realtors and referral partners. Do you find, and I'm curious to your answer on this, do you find when talking to real estate agents that they don't know about this program?
You know what? It's still a very underutilized program, and everybody is familiar with FHA, FHA, FHA.
Right.
And it is, it's very easily you're 100% right. There is... being able to provide that knowledge to the local communities is really what's going to help grow your business too, because you are going to become the local expert, because this is really a unique program.
Right, that's a good point.
And you can buy a house, and then when you explain to people that the USDA monthly premium is 3 times less than the FHA PMI, and you have no down payment.
Right.
I mean, it really blows our socks off. And then if the home appraises for more, you can actually finance in your closing cost.
Right. I know. We just did that. Yeah. And we had some repairs that had to be done. This is just another cool tip. We had some repairs that had to be done on one. The seller did the repairs. We just did an addendum because we had room in the appraisal to up the actual purchase price. So we upped the purchase price so the seller could get that money back, and everybody, it was a win-win for everybody.
And then also there is provisions within the program. It all depends on your lender restrictions, where there are availability for escrow holdbacks for those specific lender required repairs, air conditionings, flooring, something that's not going to affect livability. It's not a full-blown, let's say many people work with a 203K program, it's not a renovation. I mean, it's more or less going to be something that fixes a very specific, but that's something that can be done post-closing, an escrow repair part of it. So every way you look at it, I mean, this program is built to help people save money.
All right, correct. Cool.
But so, I keep going back to that faint of heart thing. You've got to be prepared if you want to. This is going to take for people to get used to seeing you, people to get used to what you provide, what you offer. You got to really, if you want to make this a good niche as part of your business, I mean, you got to be looking to plan 6 to 12 months down the road.
Right. How do you get into, I think one of the biggest questions comes in is do you use this program to get into realtor offices or to make a presentation to them? Do you use this program?
Actually, that's a very good point. This is because of the uniqueness and the niche part of it. There are offices that need this information. Being able to come in and talk just about a USDA loan, like for example, I'm going to be going up, it's about an hour and a half drive up into Citrus County. End of this month, I've got two offices I'm going to meet with. Both have around 20 agents, and they want me to talk just about USDA loans.
Wow, no kidding. Okay, all right. So you're not even using the shiny whistle. You're using an actual program to get into a real estate office.
You know what the funny part is? Because I talked to them too. The first thing I said was, do you want to talk about video marketing? So I'm going to get into that a little bit later because that's something that's really has
huge.
I mean, grown my business exponentially. This has been made a, this is a game changer, the whole video marketing, as you know. But I want to say, let's talk about video marketing and some marketing strategy. And they said, we want to talk to you about USDA loans.
Interesting.
So that blew my socks off when I heard that. Because it's usually the opposite.
Yeah, you bring up RD and they go, well, could you help us with social media? <You
know? laughs> right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so you got any hints or tips that can help us out for utilizing this program and maximizing the power of it?
Most definitely. I mean, as you could say, said, Sean, you're driving 1, 2, and 3 hours one way. You must be crazy. You know, there is a little bit of craziness in that. However, when you go, I've been doing this for so long, you really learn how to maximize your schedule and your travel time. When you go, you're not going for one event, or maybe it's an event where there's going to be a big group of agents at. Then that's worthwhile to go.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to schedule locations where you can meet with customers and agents, because obviously you don't have a physical office there.
Right.
And I found out it is, I mean, there are times where, just from a timing standpoint, where we have to either email or overnight the documents to the customer. Most time I'm trying to be there with them. That's going to give you more face time with the customer. Let them be comfortable as you're explaining the program. So I'm trying to budget up and, as far as time-wise, schedule, coordinate as many appointments as I can in that one trip. And it's actually, that's the importance of this, really falls back on getting your farm area. I mean, if you've got one agent you're working with, I'm going to use some Florida locations. Let's say you're over in Lakeland. Let's say you're over in or up in Citrus County, which is an hour and a half north. I mean, it's hard to do this. If you really go into a farm area, that way you're able to do this. This is really hard to coordinate and manage one trip for multiple reasons when you're spread out too far. Now, great places where you can set up to meet at is obviously real estate offices. Maybe you can meet at a local title company, restaurants, Starbucks, Panera Bread, for example. And then, so for example, I've had times where I'm going to meet with a customer and I've got three appointments set up at one of the local restaurants. And one person, this is very similar to Michael Mann's stacking strategy, but with loan appointments.
Right.
So I'll schedule the appointments. They come in. We sign the papers. We get to meet face-to-face. And it's really a great way to start the process. I mean, as much as I like the video marketing, I go old school many times when it comes to that face-to-face because I'm able to cement the relationship, and it really helps to eliminate confusion and start off on the right track. They know there's a real person on the loan side.
Correct. What did you this might be backing up a little bit too, but if someone wanted to get more information about this question is coming in. If someone wanted to get more information about it, would you suggest getting with a local rep of one of the lenders that they work with, or getting with a lender to see what would be the best way to learn all the guidelines? Because it's not that difficult of a loan, but you still have to know the guidelines. So how would you go about if you were to tell somebody, you know, to find out more about this program, so when they do go, you know, talk to these agents or feel comfortable about it?
I would say it's a very good suggestion. You need to, you've got to talk to your funding source. Where's the money coming from, and what are their overlays?
Mm.
Maybe you're telling the agents we can do an escrow repair, and then your lender says no way.
Right.
Because not all lenders do that.
Correct.
The in-ground swimming pool. Obviously, there's other calculations. That's definitely a permissible property type to finance, but there are some lenders which say we're not doing in-ground pools.
Right.
Even though that's a USDA, it's obviously allowable property type. So, I mean, you've got to really be in-depth. I mean, yeah, if you've got to know your lender's overlays. That's a huge thing. That falls back to what you said about the over-promising.
Under-deliver, yeah.
Right.
One of the other things, too, is, correct me if I'm wrong, is this program is less, what's the correct word, less strict or less stringent on the credit scores. Where FHA, a lot of times I'm seeing, like, you got to have 3 credit scores, you got to have open trade lines or whatever, depending on the overlays. With this RD, we've closed several loans with alternative credit.
Very much so.
Same thing? Okay, so alternative credit is still a go for this program.
It's still a go. I mean, I've closed many customers with the true zero score or the ghost credit report where we've got canceled checks for rent, electric bill, water. We got 3 alternative trade lines. We got rental history, good job time. I mean, it was a good loan, but they had true zero scores.
Yeah. So still a good borrower, just no way to prove it, except for alternative credit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So if you're on the call and going, okay, you know, those borrowers that come in that don't have a credit score, I mean, I would love to hear your speech, but I mean, I kind of go, well, you know what? This is what will work for you right now. So, and these are the areas that you can purchase a home in if you still would like to proceed. That's kind of how I do it. Do you have a different way of doing that?
No, I would agree. It's very similar. So here's what we can do right now, if we can do it. If they're missing one of the components as far as the alternative credit trade lines, or maybe they're paying rent by cash, then I say, okay, well, here's what you need to do. And this is one of the big features I offer to agents and buyers. Within our system, we set people up on follow-up. So let's say that person comes in with a zero score and they need to get a secured credit card. We're going to give them some tips to help start building their credit, and we're going to set them a follow-up for 6 months. And that agent knows also when we follow up with them that their name's beside it. So we're going to hook them back up and get them involved again because they referred that to us, and that's just helping refer back to them when that borrower is ready.
Absolutely. Guys, so if you're looking for a unique program that I think is like literally untouched, and as you can see, Sean is killing it with this program, and it's just amazing to me, Sean, that so many people, I don't know, shy away from it. I don't know, but amazing program. So let's see, so how do you market this thing?
All right, so even though it's a rural in nature program, you're not going to be, obviously if your office is an hour or 2 hours away, you're not going to be physically sitting there right there all the time. So you might not be able to meet with the customer initially. You might not be able to, a great way to kind of bridge that gap is through video marketing, social media. So I am a huge proponent of video marketing. I do weekly video tips on both the USDA program and tips for agents. And that's a big part of my business that's helped it immensely. And this is a great tip. You know, Scotty, you've talked about this so many times, the power of video marketing.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and,
the thing...
I mean, regardless...
Yeah, they get to know you. Instead of just trying to send an email that has to do with RD loans, they actually get to hear you and get to... I mean, that's... Yeah, you can't even... I can't stress the power of that.
I mean, Scotty, tell me, how many times have you went up to a group and you've never seen people, and they come up to you and say, hey, Scotty, how you doing? Because they know you.
They know you already, every single time, every time. Yes. Yeah. You can't put a price on that because they, if they already know you and they like you because you've given them something of value already with information about an RD loan, now the trust factor comes into play, and then they go, all right, I'll give you a chance. And I don't know, do you have it where a lot of realtors will give you their own personal loans to start with?
I've had many agents come up to me and say, hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And about their own personal, just trying to get some advice.
Right.
That happens more than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's a test, I think. And that's a good test. That's like, all right, I'm in. They're giving me their own personal stuff to see how I work.
And then with with this, the whole video marketing, I'm not trying to shift topics, but this is such a big portion of my business. I wanted to explain that because that's part of the boots on the ground, and then the video marketing, combining the two is what is really, I've been able to see the results from that. And regardless of your niche, whether you're doing your VA like Pat Fitzgerald, 203K loans, HARP loans, USDA loans like myself, whatever your niche is, maybe your niche is all the programs.
Right.
But getting that out there and marketing it through through video is, that's just so critical.
So can you touch on the video marketing just a little bit more? Oh, here it is right here.
All right, so with video marketing,
USDA Loan Pro, love it.
I established a video blog strictly for USDA information. And I've done research on I've done searches on the web to see what other people are doing. I don't know anywhere where it's got this many unique videos. I keep my videos, as you know, the 2 to 3 minutes long, not too long, educational for consumers, and also for agents that want to know a little bit more about the program. So I try to focus on one little part. There are so many little rules and regulations within the USDA program. I just go into the 1980, and I can pull up so many guidelines that I can talk about, whether it's second income, authorized user accounts for qualifying, whatever it is, there's all types of little things, and that only helps your brand by giving all this valuable information,
right.
But it also helps your search engine optimization on your website. So then again, this helps me get loans in for out-of-state areas that are not my farm area, but people just doing the Google search.
Now, did you set up this blog by yourself, or you have somebody else do it for you?
I set everything up. I did outsource just the infrastructure, the building of it.
Okay.
But as far as the posting the videos, the content, I mean, I do that weekly.
Okay. Awesome. Do you ever do it?
I wouldn't.
Go ahead.
No, I would say it's definitely you want to outsource somewhere to build it up. I don't think that's a good usage of time is to build your own unless that's what you do and that's what you like to do.
Correct. Do you ever do it with referral partners, or do you ever go to a home and do like an example of a home that's eligible for an RD loan or anything like that?
You know what? That's a great tip. I have really thought about different ways to incorporate that portion of the video. There are, I would say, there can be limitations with how many places you can be.
Right.
On this, but I mean, as far as just with this topic, I've got some ideas that I'm working on right now. I'll let you know here in the next couple of months how they work out.
Okay.
One thing I would go with video testimonials at closings.
Huge. Yep. Huge.
So,
especially with this program, if you can get the borrower, that's a fantastic idea, Sean. If you can get the borrower to say, Sean, I'm so excited that I called you. You got us into this home. I literally only spent $500 getting this home. It was 100, and that was my homeowner's insurance for the first year. I literally spent $23 to get into this loan because you took care of the loan for us and everything worked out. And I'm paying the same amount of money per month as I did when I was renting, and I own the home now. I mean, that would be huge.
No, it's insane when you think about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I mean, going back to old school, I've got rings. I got those big binders where people used to write in the recommendation, hey, thanks for helping us. You did this for us. So when people would come to the office, they'd say, why should we work with you? I said, here's two reams of binders. You can look through the reasons.
Right.
Now, being able to put them on your website, everybody can see it.
Yeah. Or I mean, here's just another idea for you that I'm thinking of as you go over this stuff, the video marketing, is go to a home, like be like in front of the home and then go inside the home, but then give, within a minute or two, give them, not have numbers flashing up, $100,000 home, zero down, here's your payment. Are you paying $700 for rent? Guess what? You could own this beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath, whatever,
And that would also be a good – that strategy could work good with partnering up with some
realtor partners.
Agents you're working with.
Agents, yeah. Financial planners, insurance agents.
So So did you see how we trended from you got your farm market, but then through the video marketing, you're able to get that larger reach? Let's say if you're maybe you're in Florida, you're in Tampa like we are, or in Dallas as well too, able to get different areas within the state or even other states for those multi-state license originators.
You know, I got a really important question for you. So you're really okay. So you do this every single week, okay? And a lot of people are going, all right, you know, once I mean, most people have that roller coaster. They have a great month, then they have a bad month because they were marketing the month before. Then they get all these loans in the pipeline. They have processing. They have chasing conditions. They have all this stuff, and then so they stop marketing, and then they go, crap, now I got to market again. How have you align yourself to be able to do this every single week to continue that roller coaster, continue to climb instead of go down and dip and then come back up? I mean, because obviously you're having amazing months every single month, month in and month out, and you're able to remove yourself from the process. What's your secret on that?
I would say, it's been tough. That's been the hardest part, is being able to manage a process but step away, because everybody knows me.
Right.
And being able to, I mean, I have a staff, so I went with the team approach where I'm the originator and staff supports my flow, both licensed and unlicensed staff members, depending on their roles.
Okay.
Help support the workflow so the agents get a direct contact with somebody. So if I'm out in the field, if I'm driving 2 hours one way, they've got a direct contact. So having a support staff in place is critical, because you don't want to be running around originating. This probably goes, I mean, everybody knows this goes with any loan program.
Right.
Having an A-plus processor or two or three,
yep.
Having people that can help with the intake and answer phones and being courteous and getting people to the right places.
Right.
I mean, that's a critical part of my business, because if I'm on the road for sometimes 6-7 hours a day, if it's when you talk about round trip, you've got to have people in the office who are strong, customer service savvy, and always looking out for the realtors and the borrowers, trying to help give them that comfort level.
Yes. So just real quick, a little bit about your team. Do you have a loan partner that actually takes applications, or do you take 100% of your applications?
Well, as far as complete, like true applications, that would fall on me. Pre-qualifications,
okay.
Most of these people we're working with are in just a simple pre-qualification. Here, let's get the – we're trying to buy a house. We don't know where to start.
Okay.
So I have people that are able to get the intake started.
Okay.
So then I can review credit.
Okay.
And then as we transition to an application, that falls on me.
The reason I'm going down this road is because I think a lot of people are looking at this going, okay, I would love to start this program. I would love to market this program. But I don't have the time, or I have a fear of this, or I have a fear of that, or I can't let go, or you know what I mean? So I think it's important to know that, I mean, if you start marketing something, the number, I think it's 1, 2, 3, the fourth one down, is be consistent. Be consistent. If you're going to start it, be able to do it every single week. I mean, I get up every Wednesday, and I know you do the same thing. We get up on Wednesday. It's the tip of the week. We're going to do the tip of the week. We're going to do something to connect with our database, connect with our realtor partners. But you got to be consistent on it. You're going to have that roller coaster type business where you have good months and bad months.
That's a tough blend to do, because being not only the owner, mm-hmm. the originator, basically the team leader, my hands are in
everything.
A big portion of the pie.
Yeah.
I've been able to step back from that some in order to keep the origination. That's critical to where I'm at today, is being able to step back somewhat from the day-to-day, immediate, every part of the file, because it is physically impossible. I mean, I work an insane amount of hours every week.
Okay.
My wife will attest to that.
Yeah.
It's really a true dedication to the profession.
Sure.
And, I mean, it's not, for as I mentioned before, for the faint of heart. But you do have to have that support staff so you can keep originating. I'll tell you one key thing that I've been able to do to handle, as far as, because very thankfully we've earned a high call volume. So one respect we've done, this came up with one of my works in pre-qualification, Gina. She had a great idea. let's block your calls so we can give everybody, so we're not just kind of saying, I'm calling this person back and then just call them through the day. I think people kind of fall into that, so I block calls back with the customers, which is convenient for them. So basically from 11 to 2 during the day and between 5 and 8 at night.
Okay.
So, I mean, they know when they're getting a call back. It's just like an appointment.
Okay, got it, got it. Hey, you talked a lot about this video marketing and getting out there, and you touched a little bit on SEO. But where do you get consumer information in your farm areas? Is there a place to find that? Like, when you talk about consumer information.
When you're dealing with the USDA program, even though the word rural is in there, you don't want to be too rural. Okay. Because if you're too far out there, you might run into farm or acreage. You might run into areas where there's low activity or no sales activity.
Okay.
And that's going to hurt your appraisal. Even though it is a rural program, we still have to have underwriting approval. They still have to review appraisals. There's still USDA office approval, RD, field office approval. So there are requirements in there, not just being a rural property. So I would say looking for communities that are in eligible areas. Okay. Where there is good sales activity. Maybe check with your local realtor association. Find out how many transactions close a month, what their average loan size is. I mean, that would probably be a good starting point to get a gauge on what the activity is in the neighborhood. Are there going to be good comps? Are there going to be places for the appraiser to pull from?
Okay. I got a question. I did a little research on you before this call, before we got on this call, and I hope it's okay to bring this up, but I was told you have a Dallas office, and you're in Florida, correct?
Correct. Right.
Okay, man, how in the heck, man? How do you like fly back and forth, or, I mean, are you just in really good shape? And
I do.
Ride your bike, or, I mean, so what? How, I mean, you got all this going on in Florida. Why Dallas? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, I've always had a license there, and I have an office there, and I'm able to work with agents that are also about 2 hours outside the Metroplex with this, and it is where I'll go there, and I'll come back and forth type of deal. I mean,
okay.
That does kind of push the time constraints, but
so how many
two different markets.
How often are you in, like, so, okay, so you're in Florida most of the time. How often, how many times? Because I got a guy that wants to do this exact same thing. He wants to do it in a different state. How often are you in Dallas, like per month, or is it every other month, or what is that? What does it look like?
You know what? I don't have a set schedule. It's going to really be dictated by your appointments. So when I go there, it's going to be very much, I'll use the terminology if people are familiar with the appointment stacking.
Yes.
If I'm going to travel somewhere, it's going to be for good purpose. I'm meeting with people, establishing, reinforcing relationships, meeting with a group of customers, or whatever the reason.
Okay.
Now, I mean, also in the other two states that I work in, I don't have a physical office, but Tennessee and Alabama I get more leads. The leads generated from there, that comes through SEO.
Okay. You want to touch on that just a little bit? Like, touch on the SEO part. Like where do you think, where do you feel the best SEO is coming from, or where is SEO doing the best for you, and how is it getting, how is that transpiring?
I mean, I'm a firm believer that getting whatever your niche is going to be, that's where you translate over to your video marketing, and having a professional content on the video, not just I mean, you can go. Anyone can go on YouTube and see all the people that want to try to video market, but it comes off looking sometimes not the sharpest. But really practicing it, getting your video market or getting your video marketing down, and then using that to help expand your niche, because there's enough people out there looking for each program, whether it's 203K, VA, HARPS, USDA program. Getting as much content out there with video and your keyword. Paul had a great class. I don't know if you were on that class. It was a couple, maybe early in December, November, where he talked about SEO and the recent changes that they've been doing. But that was a great class.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That penguin. Cool. So, man, you know what? You know what keeps coming back and everything that we say here is this video marketing stuff, and that now you've tied SEO into it. So what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing is pick your niche, pick a program or all of the programs, and start literally blasting it out there with little short tidbits of the program and getting it out there and putting the proper SEO, probably the proper tags like first-time homebuyer, 100% financing, stuff like that. And it just kind of takes place. One is it builds your brand, puts you on a different level, and makes you look like the expert. Anything you would add to that?
No, I would say you are the expert because you're the one providing the information.
I know.
You are the contact for the person. And, I mean, if people aren't doing this, or if people say, I don't have time to do it, or I'm too busy with my applications, I mean, how busy are you going to be in 12, 24, 36 months when rates are up?
Amen.
And you're scratching your head saying, where's all my loans?
What happened? Yeah, what happened to my business? Yeah. Scary. It's scary.
Now's the time to start building your base. If you haven't done already.
You bring up a good point. A lot of the people that I talk to are like, the mindset is they wait for it to happen. They're waiting for the phone to ring. They're hoping that the phone rings because they've established a good enough business, but which is the scariest position to be in. So what you're doing is you're making things happen. You're going out there and pushing buttons and letting people know who you are and meeting with people. One of the questions that I wanted to ask that I wrote down that I didn't is, those two offices that you're speaking at, did you call them or did they call you, or how did that all transpire? I mean, that's what, 2 hours away, you said?
Was that from when video, I went or? To a? It was through an association event. I sponsored a education event where I went and I brought the food and I had little packets ready, and there's about 25 people there, so. As I started talking to him, you can see who's interested in hearing more information or who's not. And I had a husband and wife team. They said, why don't you come talk to our office? And so I followed up with their office. This is beginning of December. I mean, I followed up with their office. They put me in touch with their office manager. And he then had two offices he wanted me to speak at, two different locations in the county. Okay. So we scheduled time, and that's going to be end of this month. And so, I mean, my initial contact was beginning of December, then Christmas comes, New Year's comes. So, I mean, you really got to have a system in place where you're following up.
It's going to be scary to see what happens. Because, I mean, once you start doing these, I mean, you're already doing them, but once you get that first call, that's like the most exciting time. Wasn't that exciting, the great feeling of when you got that call to come and speak? And I'm telling you, it's because of all your work you're putting in now on a weekly basis from these videos and just being out there and shaking hands and, you know, rubbing bellies or whatever, eating lunch or whatever. So congratulations to you on that, man. I would love to hear about how that goes. And how much time they giving you to speak at that at those events?
I'm getting 20 minutes at both.
20 minutes at both. Okay. All right.
So all right. Here's the thing. I expected that you might get 25, maybe get a half an hour because it's a morning sales meeting.
Okay.
So, I mean, they got to get on the road. They got to do their things. When you go, you got to be prepared, and you've got to have good content. And I want to back up, like, because I know one of the big things to share with the agent partners is the social media marketing, et cetera. I found out when dealing in the rural areas, it's more maybe content. How can we make each buyer? What can we do to help strengthen the buyer more than that part? They want that. I mean, I've had people come up to me asking about this information. How can you grow my business by getting more loans closed? It's kind of the old school approach. Here's what I can do for you from the loan standpoint. Because they want to come to you and say, okay, what happens if we have to go to plan B? Do you have plan B lined up?
Okay. Got it. 20 minutes is good, man. That should be good. And are you the only one there, or is there other stuff going on? I'll just give you a little tip here. Like, if anybody's thinking about doing this, are you the person that's going to be there, or is this like a morning? You said a morning meeting, so this is like an hour long meeting.
Yeah, it's going to be the meeting where the agents come together in their office, sales meeting.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the one talking.
Okay. All right. So, just as a little tip, if you can be last at this meeting, a lot of times you're going to have questions and stuff, and it's going to run over, and then people will want to talk to you, which is always a good thing. So that, just a suggestion, if you could be last instead of first. Because if you're first, then you kind of go away. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's a real good tip.
Yeah, so if you're, because there's so many times that they ask me to speak, and I ask if I could just be last, and then my 15 minutes turns into 45 minutes or an hour because it's really good information, you know, and you bring a lot to the table,
right.
You bring value to the table, so you want to give yourself that chance. Otherwise, you know, you got to be booking out the door because there's nothing for you to stay for, and they got to continue their meeting. So, just
right.
A word to the wise there.
I think that's a great tip.
Yeah, cool. So what are some guidelines that, you know, we talked a little bit about this already, but what are some guidelines that somebody should watch out for when it has to do with this program that might get them or make, you know, because obviously when, you know, when you're saying, hey, you're approved for the RD loan, 100% financing, what could creep up that you need to make people aware of or maybe set the expectations?
Obviously, as we talked about in the beginning, make sure it's going to be an eligible area. Don't just assume the property is going to be eligible, especially if you're in one of the fringe areas where you're transitioning from a non-eligible to eligible areas. Pull out the USD, get the USDA map online, put the address in, because there's many cases where it's one street over, it's going to be eligible versus ineligible. The household income limits that vary per county. You've got to be aware of how much money is in the household versus who's just on the loan, because that's a huge factor that varies per county and by number of people in the household, whether it's kids, whoever is having income. Yeah, you got to be careful. Ineligible property tax types, such as those existing manufactured homes, if you got a two-unit property, anything income-producing on the property could make it potentially ineligible. And like when we talked about in the beginning, how long is your state taking to process that file once it gets to the RD field office? You've got to be able to have those accurate closing dates.
So two-unit or duplexes are not eligible, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
And you got to, I mean, they just passed a recent announcement as far as with trying to clarify when there's outbuildings, because there's a lot of confusion on that if that building is, I mean, I've had storage sheds where the underwriters requested the appraiser go back and take a picture of it, of the inside of it.
Okay.
As crazy storage as it sounds, that's, yeah.
I mean, you think in rural areas you're going to have bigger storage sheds, more storage sheds.
Right.
I mean, that's what
right.
It's all about. I have some property. Yeah.
So, I mean, income, those are the, I mean.
Income limits. So, like, and these changed greatly a couple years ago, but, I mean, they're pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because if you've never done an RD loan, what do you got to be, I mean, per county, this is one thing that could get you is, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you count every person in the household income or just the people on the
correct.
Loan?
For the USDA, there's two income components, and I run into this a lot where the husband or the wife will say, but I'm not on the loan.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. And I said, well, that's not true. And then I have to back up and I have to explain USDA has a household income limit and underwriting has a qualifying income.
Yeah.
So your qualifying income versus your USDA limit is two different things. It could be the same, but, I mean, if there's more people in the household, let's say you have a grandfather, a grandmother, there's other Social Security income in the household, that would count.
Yeah, you got to count
if they're living in the household.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you have to count that income, even though they're nothing to do with the loan. That could put you over the limit that qualifies you for the RD loan.
Correct.
Yeah, you got to be careful of that.
And that's one of you, whether your processors are taking, I don't know how people have their team set up, or if it's just that loan originator talking up front. When you're getting that initial intake and initial information, finding out how many people are in the household.
Yeah.
Is really critical on who has the income. Is there maybe the wife's not working, but she gets some type of child support from a previous relationship. That would count against the limit.
Absolutely.
So you really got to put your detective hat on.
Yeah. What about a child that's working? Like what if my daughter's 17 and she's working? Do I have to count that income?
That would be counted too.
Yeah. Cool. Property. So the only real property, okay, let me just point this out. You say existing manufactured homes. What does that mean?
So if there's already a property, if the property is already out there and already set up, As if manufactured homes or not. Correct. If there's like manufactured homes that are out there already set up, they're already existing properties, those aren't eligible.
Those are not eligible. Now, is it true that if it's a manufactured home, not that there's a lot of these out there, we're doing anything with them, but if it's a manufactured home and it has a rural development loan on it, is it eligible for another rural development loan?
No, I have not come across that ever.
Okay. I was told way back that it was, but I mean, check with your lender on that, so you might be able to save a deal.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly what I was going to say, is because that's a huge lender restricted in right. any program, the manufactured home component. But I know from a USDA specific guideline, existing manufactured homes are an ineligible property type.
Okay. So we talked about the loan as far as how long it's taking to close the loans. Just check on that. It's not a big deal. It's kind of like, just as long as you know what it is, as long as you're like, be careful that you're not saying 30 days when it's going to be 45 to 60 is all you really have to be careful of there. Let's see. And lender stuff. What about, talk to us about some lender stuff that maybe, and we kind of covered this briefly, but let's just hit it, and then I'm sure it'll bring up some more questions. What lender overlays? What do you mean by that? I mean, I know we all kind of know what that is, but can you recap on that?
Yeah, that might be the word everybody hates the most, is lender overlay.
Amen.
So whether it's a debt ratio cap, let's say the underwriting system for USDA loans is Guaranteed Underwriting System, otherwise known as GUS. So they may allow the borrower up to 49% or 48%. Due to compensating factors, assets, high credit scores, whatever, maybe your lender only will allow 45.
Okay.
So you got to check with your lender on what their requirements. Are they going to follow GUS specifically, or do they have their own internal requirements?
Okay.
Do they offer manual underwriting, like Scotty mentioned before about the thin credit, the zero score people?
Yeah.
Can we build alternative credit? Now, for USDA guidelines, remember, if they have one score, they're considered a zero-score borrower.
Okay. Correct. If they have two, correct me if I'm wrong, you take the lower of the two, right?
Right, of course, right. But that we can at least get automated underwriting.
Correct.
Response with the two.
Okay.
And then you got to be careful when you're pricing the loan, too. When you have that 620 to 639 bracket borrower or a zero score, what are your rate hits?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the swimming pools we talked about, that's a specific guideline, but your lender may not allow swimming pools.
Okay. Is it true that some will allow it as long as there's no value assessed to it, and if there's value assessed to the pool, they take it off the purchase price?
Well, on the appraisal, there's going to have to be, from a USDA guideline standpoint, the appraisal is going to have the value of the home with the pool.
Okay.
And the value of the home without the pool. So there are going to be two values listed in the appraisal.
Okay.
So I would say I don't have that listed here, but that's something important too, is if you're going through an AMC or however you got to make sure the appraisers that are doing the property to the best of your ability are knowledgeable about the difference between, it'll follow FHA guidelines as far as condition, the whole safety, sanitary, it's going to follow those type of guidelines, but there are some parts of it where if the home appraises for more, you can finance in your closing cost.
Okay.
If there's a pool, how do they calculate that? So, making sure the AMC that you're working with has informed their appraisers the difference between USDA and FHA if they know them.
Okay. This is a big one. Credit qualifying guidelines, like trade line. Talk to me about an authorized user account. What's up with that?
Okay, with recent authorized user accounts that are reporting on the credit, what they're trying to avoid is someone that went out, they have no credit, or even if they do have credit, that authorized user account, that's gonna force it to go from a GUS accept, an automated, more streamlined approval process, and back it down to a manual underwrite.
Okay.
So authorized user accounts being present, let's say open and active, or ones that were recently closed, they're trying to avoid the home buyer who just jumped onto somebody's account to get that bump in the score.
Yeah, the old way of doing things.
So, they're trying to get ahead of that part of it.
Okay.
So, I mean, as you're, I mean, when people are looking at credit reports, it's not just a score. You've got to really go through and look, know your credit report, know what's
Right.
on the account, look
Okay.
through all the accounts. Were there
Okay.
recent authorized users? And then it does fall back. There are some underwriting discretion in it too. You got to check with your lender. Hey, this guy had an authorized user account 12 months ago. What was your policy on this? Is that going to be a downgrade? Is it going to be an automated? It's been closed and not active. How would
Yeah.
they? Because it comes down to there's quite a bit of lender discretion.
Is there a difference in pricing when it goes, and you might have already covered this, is there a difference in pricing, like what you get for rates on a manual or an automated underwrite?
No, I mean that will fall back on lender. I don't experience that, but I mean you got to check with your lender if they're going to do that. I mean whoever they're working with, but if it's that falls back into that credit score bucket. I mean at
Okay.
620 to 639, I think most people are probably it's priced the same for everybody. 620 to
Okay.
639, they're going to have a score hit. Zero scores, they're going to have a bigger score hit, and that was one of the credit changes. Just a little while back and change it from that 620 up to the 640 threshold
Okay.
and kind of bump that bottom tier up somewhat. But still,
Okay.
to get 100% financing, you got a chance if you got a 620, 640 score. I mean,
Yeah.
this is really strong.
Yep. Do you have somebody that you would send that person to get maybe get a like maybe get them to the 640 to remove some of the overlays? Do you use some
You know,
sort of?
if we mean understanding your credit bureau, maybe you can work with a rescore, maybe you can partner with a, I mean, I have got somebody through Carl. We had met, gosh, a while back. Remember at that Tampa Video Summit? It was last year where Frank and Brian came out.
Yep.
Clean Slate Credit was someone that was there as one of the sponsors. I actually got to talk to her afterwards, and that's someone we would recommend to call.
Okay.
If
Excellent.
they want to go that, if they want to go that route, it's always up to the customer. We make sure we give the customer what is your decision? How do you want to proceed in a case
Yeah.
like this? Do you want us to help? And it always comes down to them on, they have the decision how they want to move forward.
Okay. How about a couple things here? A couple great questions coming in. One is there any difference in guidelines for bankruptcies and foreclosures? What I mean, what's up with that? Can we get them into a home sooner than FHA, or is it the same, or is it longer?
Technical guidelines are going to be 3 years from
Okay.
out of discharge. You have more flexibility on a 13. There's also, I've had great success with exceptions to that 3 year. A
Okay,
big
really?
portion of that's going to be what's the, yeah, big success. We're sure I've had short sales,
No
less than
kidding.
3 years, less than 2 years. Yeah, high success with, it's got to make sense though. Maybe the
Okay.
customer had a job change. I had one
Okay.
person where he had a bankruptcy and a foreclosure.
Okay. And you still got him in
And
less than 3 years?
yes,
No kidding. Okay.
he had a
Was it
670 score. He had a
Okay.
401k with high reserves. He was forced to move with the same company. He had to change locations, and he was really in a bind. He had verified payment history on his rental. I mean, he had really tough circumstances, but we're able to work with that with manual underwriting.
That's surprising to me, man. So was it a situ okay, so was it a situation that they look at it, the letter of explanation says this is a situation that was out of my control, very unlikely that it's going to happen again anytime soon? Was it that type of situation?
Correct, because he was
Okay.
with the company long term. He
Okay.
had, I mean, he had company documentation to support his letter of explanation.
Okay.
But as you're, I mean, as you start to fall into the manual underwriting realm, you got to be prepared to really roll up your sleeves
Right. So
because
would
it
you
is,
so
it's brutal.
so before you took that on and promised, yeah, I can get you home, did you go to your lenders and say, hey, if I have run into this scenario, would it be an option for you two guys to approve it? Is that
Of
kind
course,
of
you've got to
question
have,
for your lenders? Okay.
yeah, you have to talk with your lender reps, do your research up front. You don't just say, hey, we're going to do it because this particular borrower got referred to me because another guy, another lender, broker, completely dropped the ball. He was promising a $300,000 pre-qualification. He overpromised everything. And when I saw the file, I mean, I could tell in the first 30 seconds, what was this guy doing?
Another question. Do you have to count student loans as a, or can you, what is it, you know, do you have
deferred?
Yeah, deferred, that's what I was looking for, sorry.
That was a change a little while back where now we have to get printouts from the online student loan company showing what the payments are. So you can't just take, I mean, if it's deferred, it's still going to count against.
Okay,
so I mean, we're at the point, yeah, it's, okay. Yeah, as soon as, even if it's deferred, it doesn't fall into that FHA criteria. So
okay.
If you see someone with student loans, when we send them, how I send a checklist for everybody that's going to get their documents together, we have, I have an email I'm going to send them, which is going to bullet point, probably there might be similar systems out there, but it's going to bullet point everything we're going to need up front. So basically,
okay.
You know, W-2s, pay stubs, looking through the credit, maybe we need a letter of explanation, maybe we're going to need, like in this case, student loan printouts, an online screen printout from their student loan company, so
yeah.
We're prepared, because that's something underwriting is going to ask for.
Yeah, okay, you just opened up a can of worms, man. Like, big time? Like, everybody wants to see that document. Is that something you can provide to us?
There's not really a document. We just have a...
Have an email?
Just,
okay.
It's in an email. Said,
okay.
Hey, thanks for your... for inquiring. I include in that email, check this out, I include in that email, if it's for, let's say, a USDA candidate, I have a video introduction that I include, which introduces them to the highlights of the program.
Okay, now I have some really upset people, because... Wait, I did not get a yes out of you that we can see that? Is that something?
Well, you can see it. It just,
okay.
Yeah, I can definitely.
Okay.
I mean, all it is your email with a bullet point of what documents we need. Yeah, it's nothing.
Awesome. And then that video intro would be amazing, dude. That sounds great. That's huge. I would love to see that. So if you could maybe share that with Tammy, and then she can
okay.
disperse it out to everybody. Another thing, how about lake properties? Can I buy a home in rural development on a lake?
Yeah, there's no restriction against that. You mean lake properties are going to be higher priced.
Right.
As you know, there's no loan limits for USDA. It's based on qualifying ability.
Okay. That was a question that was coming up too, and I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a good question. Yeah, so it doesn't matter how much it is, as long as they qualify, the DTI is fine, and they don't make too much money, it's good.
But, I mean, as you know, with the income limits, you're going to get capped out somewhere on the price.
Correct. So have you run into any lake property issues where, you know, typically on a lake, the per square footage of a lake is higher, and then therefore the property value may be over a certain percentage that is allowed by USDA? Have you run into any issues like that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Not maybe on a lake, but when you get into that, kind of falls back into that acreage,
okay.
Where, let's say, maybe in Texas, I mean, depending on where you're at in Florida, too, this could be, but there's more, obviously, Texas is huge. So there's more properties with that mass acreage.
Yes.
So when you get to the higher acreage, even when you go to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if you have a smaller home on it,
yeah,
that ratio is going to slowly start to get out of whack.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, that's something to be aware of, too, is having that too much acreage, or in your example, the acreage where, like, the lakefront or the...
Yeah. So what he's saying here, just for everybody that's curious, is, if you buy a home, like, looking at 100, let's just use an exorbitant number, 100-acre parcel that has a home on it, so they appraise this thing as a $300,000 home, but the property's worth $200,000. That's going to be an issue because there's, isn't it 30%? It can't go over 30% of the value
Correct.
Of the whole
Correct.
Situation. Okay. So 30%.
So
as long as the property value is not more than 30%.
And you want to check with your lender too because
it might have
been seeing most lenders have a cap between 5 and 10 acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, period.
So, I mean, that's something you got to check with your lender. What's the most you're going to cap at if that is a...
Do they have a cap in that? That's all they can allow on the appraisal, or period? If that thing has 25 acres, it's dead.
Right. You gotta check to see how many acres are maxed out on the property.
Okay.
Or your lender will allow.
Another great question coming in here by John. Hey, thanks, John. Hey, do you advertise in any papers, any penny pinchers, anything that you advertise in like that that's yielded any success?
No.
No, okay.
I've really stayed away from print, I guess, advertising, and really went head over heels into the video marketing.
Okay. Video marketing, cool. Man, I tell you, man, I know I've met you, but I can't remember where. And I look forward to hanging with you again and just getting to know you better and following your success. Because, man, do you plan on going to other states, or are you staying in Florida and Texas? What's your goals there?
No, I'm good where I'm at right now.
Pretty good. All right, I'm good. Yeah.
Scotty, you met him here in Tampa. He was here in Tampa at our event.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. As soon as I seen his picture, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know this guy. Awesome. Well, hey, man, I sincerely appreciate you coming on and showing USDA, because I know it's a untapped market. I don't know if, you know, everybody knows how powerful this thing can be, both for your realtor partners, but yourself and your own business and becoming the expert. I mean, God, it just getting out there and letting people know who you are and what you do, but then putting a really attractive program out there for people. The rates are amazing. Values are amazing. A couple of things I got off of this is you can use the appraised value. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. Appraised value to cover either closing costs and repairs. You might be able to escrow, again, check for overlays with your lender if they'll allow it or not allow it. But, I mean, I don't know of any other program except VA has a couple things in there you can do that. But I don't know, you know, except for the 203K loan, if you got a $500 repair that makes that home livable or not livable, you have to do that repair. And if the seller's not going to fix it, that's an issue, right? So this is an attractive program in that sense. So, Sean, is there any last words that you tell somebody like, hey, man, get your feet wet? What would be the first thing that you would recommend for getting your feet wet with RSDA loans or USDA loans? I don't know where RSDA came from, but USDA.
I mean, if you're an originator, maybe doing your research. If you're looking for a new place to work or whatnot, do your research on what lenders are friendly. If you want to make the USDA loan a good part of your niche, make sure you're going to have a USDA-friendly environment. You don't want to go somewhere that specializes in one type of loan and you expect to walk in and roll out USDA, because that's just setting up for a service nightmare for you and your agents and your home buyers in the exact opposite of what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Hey, another great question, and I'll turn this over to Tammy. Somebody's saying that they've had a couple issues with money being available around, I don't know when it is, October, November, like when the government has to say, okay, yeah, there's this much money available. Have you had any issues with that?
You know what, we haven't, because it's all, that goes back to doing research with your lender. You want to find out if they're going to continue funding with what's called those additional commitments.
Yes.
While they're waiting on the funds to be reappropriated.
Okay.
So you want to find out, and I get all types of deals where, oh, the bank told me USDA's out of money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, USDA, I mean, it depends on how your lender is set up, if you can continue functioning as normal.
Okay. Great. That would be a huge one if you were, typically it's everybody shuts down for like, what, 30 days, 45 days? I get more loans from that than you can even imagine, because like all the local lenders, mm-hmm. just as soon as the government comes out and says, oh, there's no more funds, everybody literally shuts down, because I think the fear is they don't want to be stuck with those loans if the money doesn't come around. You know what I mean? And like it says, it's never not coming around. So awesome. Tammy, did I miss anything, or did you think of anything that might...
No, I think that was totally awesome, Sean. Thank you so much. And I know we're going to have some other questions come in. So if you guys do have additional questions, if you'll please send them to the office here, and then I'll get answers for you. But don't, as you can tell, with 60, 70 loans in the pipeline, Sean's pretty busy. So if you do have questions, please hit us up here at the office. You can write to Paul or myself, and we will get an answer for you, okay? But Sean was very kind to take time out of his very busy day to do this with us, so we appreciate that, Sean. Thank you so much. This is a great way for people to be able to get their feet wet and say, I might be able to do that.
Yes. All right. So, Sean, man, I appreciate you being here. Tammy, as always, awesome, and finding good people that are doing great things in the marketplace and bringing value to us as a group. It's just always enlightening. I always learn something every time I'm on one of these classes, and I appreciate you taking out time on your busy schedule, and I would love to know how those two meetings go with the 20 different agents.
No, definitely. I want to throw a little kudos back to you guys, because the information that you're providing, whether it be from a marketing or a product, I think it's invaluable for originators. So, I mean, you guys are doing a AAA-plus job in my mind.
Thanks,
that,
Sean.
Thanks
Yay.
So much.
Yay. Well, Scotty, I get to see you
Yes.
tomorrow. So
I'm excited about that.
I know. I know. So, guys, we appreciate you taking time out of your day. We know you have a choice of how you spend your afternoons and that you have chosen to spend it with us to grow your business and to learn things that we're going to just make your family life a little bit better or make your work life a little bit better. So we honor that and appreciate that. We ask that you, again, send any questions over to Paul or Karen or myself and not directly to Sean, please. And with that, we're going to wish you an awesome, awesome weekend. And we will see you right back here next week again.
Take care, buddy.